Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the April Fool's Day adventure. We are playing Toon, and this year's adventure is entitled The Mystery at Baldur's Gate. An attuned Toon. Once again, I am surrounded by the lovely players who are going to introduce their characters, starting this time with the person on my right.
Hello, everyone. I'm David. And today I am playing Talon McCaw, the antagonist,
the villain,
the story, to the character who is presently on my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan. And tonight I'm playing the anti-hero, the protagonist, Hoots Marlowe, the black and white private eye, who is a cartoon owl and is puffing on a cigarette over in the corner, brooding and drenched in rain. I don't know if he's having a good time or not, honestly. Like, does he ever have a good time
in these dark,
grimy streets? I don't know.
Wandering crime alley.
Yeah.
Perpetually under a rain cloud.
Mm-hmm. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and tonight I'm playing Captain, the capybara, who has a love of all things yacht rock.
We know who's having a good time.
Yacht rock and good vibes.
Good vibes. I have listened to a lot of yacht rock, but unfortunately, that means that all the lyrics that I've wrote down, I no longer remember what melody they go to because I've listened to all of the melodies of yacht rock.
You have now transcended and you are yacht rock.
Yeah.
What you need is the generic yacht rock.
Exactly.
That any of those lyrics could go to.
Great. To my right.
Hi, I am Nathan and I am here playing Hazelnut Honey Bear, God's sleepiest soldier and hungriest soldier.
Sleepiest little guy.
They've just woken up from their winter slumbers and, well, you know, enjoying their waking hours around Toontown? No, Baldur's Gate. No, Baldur's Gate's the rink.
Toonopolis?
In the game that we are currently playing in its fictional setting, they would really enjoy a couple of additional calories and maybe a quick little extra snoz.
Well, I've got some good news for you then, because the buffet is coming.
Woo!
So, last time, real quick recap. You all received an invitation for the grand partial opening of the Baldur's Gate roller rink and ice skating facility. And after the ribbon cutting ceremony, some of you with the more VIP access were allowed to be the first into the newly constructed ice skating rink portion of the roller rink. To kick it off, there was a small race around this ice rink, and it turns out that Captain, our yacht rock specialist, is actually just a damn fine ice skater and has won that particular race.
I can't believe that Captain beat two characters who can just fly.
Yeah. That's true. But also, like, the rink right now is mostly water, right? Like, we basically destroyed this thing on, like, day one.
Yeah. That's why it's a partial opening. Yeah. They got some stuff to figure out.
Yeah. In all fairness, someone did try to use customized ice skates. Himalaya, one of the abominable snow people, and in igniting her rocket skates caused some bit of ice melting because while the Toon society does not always obey the laws of physics, they obey the laws of physics when and if it is funny. And in this case, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
The gravitational pull of a good joke.
Yes, indeed. That brings us to the somewhat small award ceremony. And as I'm sure one Hazelnut is looking forward to, the buffet.
Hey!
Nice.
I mean, yay.
Because of the we'll call it minor flooding from the melted ice rink, the buffet is actually being struck and moved to the upper level, to the roller rink level. And as you make your way up there, you can see, once again, all of the toons that were in the race that had been clobbered or knocked out seem to be perfectly fine right now at this point, as is tradition, given a toon. And you can see and smell this enormous buffet that has all kinds of breakfast and lunch type items. Almost anything you can think of is there. There is hot food, cold food, room temperature food, and it seems to be help yourself as everybody locks eyes on the buffet, and then there's the rush.
I think Hoots Marlowe just grabs a hot coffee and a cigarette. That's his breakfast of choice.
That seems about right.
Talon Macaw is a tiny crow. I forgot to describe it earlier, but he's a tiny little bird with a hat and a little squeaky hammer.
Very crucial, crucial to all prior characters.
Very important. If he didn't have it before, he's got it now. But he's kind of eyeing the place because he also has a question. Is there a disco ball in the roller rink, in the ice rink downstairs, or both?
I'm going to say that there is one in both. And not only that, it is not just a disco ball. It is a disco cylinder. Meaning there is a floor to ceiling.
I don't like that phrase.
A pillar.
That sounds very inappropriate.
There is a floor-to-ceiling disco column that in the middle of both the roller rink, where people are skating around it, and the ice rink, which was in the center of what you saw downstairs. And now that you're upstairs and some of the light is hitting this pillar, as the pillar slowly rotates, this is by far way better than any kind of disco ball heist.
Yeah.
You now have a pillar that you might be able to swipe.
Talent structural.
Yeah, is it a load-bearing disco pillar?
Well, that's a question for either Fitzgerald or...
We don't obey the laws of physics here. Yeah. Why are we asking?
That's true.
It could also be a fire pole kind of style where you can actually slide down from the top.
Talon McCall is thinking, like, I need a demolitions expert for this heist if I'm going to get these pillars. But also at the buffet, he is going to go to the very end of the line where there's the desserts, and he's going to get himself a little dirt cup. You know, the ones that have little Oreo crumbles and the gummy worms sticking out? That's his vibe right now.
Excellent.
So, Hazelnut, they, as I have described, they are much skinnier in their current incarnation, again, because they just woke up from their hibernation, is wearing a nice, cute little neckerchief, but also some very now oversized overalls. And at the moment, they are exclusively focused on just putting their big bear paws on as many things as possible and then just piling it up inside of their overalls.
Captain is basking in the glory of winning and will probably just grab another cheeseburger in paradise because he gave his to Hazel.
He's got to restock.
Well, he tried to.
Tried to, yes.
I was going to have one on you.
As you're kind of gathering whatever you would like from the buffet and kind of stepping out of line and looking around, you see maybe a dozen, 14 or so people that are just skating around up here on roller skates. The traditional boot with four wheels on it.
Roller skate, not blade.
Yes, correct. Skate, not blade.
I always get those mixed up.
You see them kind of going around in a circle. And as you're looking at them, there's something weird about them. And you notice that they are all skating in sync. Not the band.
Eyes just wave like for a new track to drop.
But like all of them, it's you know, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. And it's a very rhythmic in timing. Now, they're not skating all in a line. They're kind of like scattered around the rink, but they all seem to be skating with the same timing and at the same time.
Can I tell if they appear bewitched, perhaps by a certain disco column?
Interesting. What would you like to roll to determine that?
I feel like this is maybe a smarts, a spot hidden roll, or it could be a disarm trap roll.
I'm going to go with spot hidden.
Okay.
You can go ahead and roll that.
I succeed. I rolled a 5 under my 9.
They do appear to be, you're not sure, bewitched, hypnotized. There is something almost mechanical about how they're moving. It's very, very timed, very deliberate.
Uh-huh.
And Hoots Marlowe's going to go over to Talon and just say, "Don't think I don't see you eyeing that column. I know what you're up to, Talon. You're not going to get away with it on my watch."
"And who thinks you can stop me, Hoots? But that's not why I'm eyeing this column. Something weird's going on with these skaters. Look at them go. 1, 2, 1, 2, all in a line, all in a row, just like that. But maybe that's something your detective powers can see. Your weak, feeble detective powers."
And I'm a little surprised I didn't catch it to begin with.
I'm not.
Damn. Ooh. Oh, damn. Oh, wow, damn. The gauntlet has been thrown.
That's how this is going to go. Just because, like, now that I'm looking at it, it becomes much more obvious. And I'm thinking back to at the beginning of the ribbon-cutting ceremony when Edmund Fitzgerald seemed to be super, you know, really stressed out and just really distracted. Do we see Edmund anywhere?
Yes, he is up there. You do see him with Auntie Xantha, kind of standing off near the buffet, but not in line for the buffet. They're just kind of like keeping an eye out, kind of talking. And you see that Auntie Xantha is holding what looks like a ribbon and a little medal that's probably for the first place award ceremony.
What I would like to do is I have an item in my possession. That's an inflatable decoy owl. And I'm just going to, like, while everyone's getting food at the buffet and trying to find a place to sit down, I'm going to go walk into the corner and just, like, blow up this balloon owl real fast.
Now, I saw you, Jonathan, make the motion as a pump. Is it a pump, or is it one you actually have to blow up?
I think it comes with a little miniature pump. Yeah, gotcha. He's got it for this kind of situation. So it's just like standing in the corner brooding, just like covered in shadow. Like from a distance, you couldn't even tell that it was not Hoots Marlowe. So I'm going to set up a decoy in the corner. And I would love to go over to where Edmund Fitzgerald and Auntie Xantha are and just see if I can hear what they're talking about or see if I can figure out, you know, what they've got planned.
I would also like it to be known that Talon is still making jibes at Hoots's blown up decoy.
Yeah. That's great, because my next question, and a very important question, is your decoy one of those punching ones that automatically comes back up? It's like weighted at the bottom.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
The Talon just like, "Nothing to say. I always knew your brain couldn't keep up with me." And he like tries to like jab him over, and it's like, you're just but a punching bag now. Look at you."
And actually, the way it's rocking back and forth, it almost is like Hoots is agreeing with you in this moment. Yeah. It's just kind of like the nodding back and forth, and you're like, yeah, we're finally on the same
spine,
page.
Huh?
So Hoots, I'm going to need you to please make your roll for sneak. However, because this is a combo you have used before.
Okay.
You only have to roll one die and get it
nice.
Equal to or below the 5.
Okay, perfect. Somehow, I failed. I rolled a 6. That's above my 5. 1 in 6 chance. That's how it goes.
Where's like the luck point, the fate point? How do you re-roll a thing?
Well,
no, not in this case.
Actually, I'll give you the option. Uh-huh. Would you like to use your gizmo?
I guess the question is, will you give me credit for successfully guessing a pun last episode? Because I actually already used my gizmo to make custom ice skates.
However, that was last scene.
Okay.
So they were the custom ice skates for the last scene. This is a new one. So you actually have your gizmo has been reset for this scene.
Okay.
And yes, you do have a group credit for guessing the. There were two puns that were gotten last time. One of them was poor Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
He was a wreck. And the other one was
the Kobayashi Maru.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
And the other one was the three designers of the impossible skating rink, the unwinnable skating rink, Kobayashi and Maru, which is, of course, from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So as a group, you do have two additional uses that you can divide amongst yourselves of your gizmo.
Is it going to be worth it, Jonathan?
While you think about that, is anti-xantha something to do with xanthan gum?
That's the only thing.
That's
I
the
can
only
think
thing
of.
I can think of.
No.
Great. That's fine. That's fine. I just need to stop thinking about it.
It's going
to
be an 18-part pun reveal in the last 13 seconds.
Because I know there were bees, like her, all of her things. Like,
and xanthaminium does the blah, the blah,
oh,
the
God,
blah.
Oh, God, I didn't think and about all, scientific names of things. Damn it.
Awesome. And one, too.
And we all remember the 1968 episode of blah, blah, yeah, yeah.
Only Steve remembers that.
It is not that detailed. I promise, once it clicks, you will all get it.
Famous last words.
We had a whole one of these that was just rock puns, which are exclusive to Steve.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one person in our Discord.
I don't know. The Shamrock one seemed to go
over.
Oh,
yeah, that was
pretty
good. That was good. But to answer your question, I will not use my gizmo for this. I'm just trying to see if I can listen in this conversation. I'm perfectly fine with not being able to. So I will not use my once-a-seen gizmo for this conversation.
Okay. As you're moving up there, It's just a timing thing. It just doesn't work out. Auntie Xantha and Edmund move away more towards the center, and a big spotlight comes down on them as Auntie Xantha takes a microphone and says, "It's time to crown the winner." And there's much rejoicing.
Yay!
Captain, if you would please join us in the center here.
Yes, Captain will glide on over, finger gunning all the way.
I have a really quick, important question.
Yes.
Is Captain a boat shoes or flip-flops yacht rocker?
Oh.
Boat shoes.
Okay, because there's no wrong answer, but I was just like, I needed that full picture in my mind of the captain entering into the center stage.
So you move to the center, and she kind of puts this ribbon around your neck with a medallion on it it weighs quite a bit. So you're kind of like, and she says, congratulations to our first winner of the, what I hope to be, annual ice skating race. And then Auntie Xantha pulls out a small stack of cards from one of her pockets and says, "Well, we seem to have a bit of an issue with the ice rink, and now it seems to be, well, partially melted. 10% off coupons for your first skate for anyone that's willing to help refreeze the ice rink."
I have to maintain my mantle of supremacy. Of course I will help with this, and Captain will just like vibe and like be like, "Yes, of course, must help."
The only verb that Captain ever engages in is just vibe. It's no walking, it's no running, it's no swimming. I vibe in the general direction.
Yes.
Captain will make his way. Wait, did we get to the roller rinks? I don't know. Wherever he is, he'll go back to the buffet and start schmoozing.
Yes, you were on a like the edge of the roller rink, where they had this little tiny stage set up. But they are now dismantling that.
Underneath Captain, he's just
As you walk off, they're like removing the boards from you as you go.
Talon is gonna try. He still doesn't quite understand what's going on with these skaters. He's had a pleasant enough conversation with Hoots, where he's reaffirmed all of his own beliefs about how good he is. But he is going to try and scope out his prize, his target. He's going to rent out a single roller skate, and he's going to hop on the rink, the skating rink. And he's going to try and like get a little bit closer to the column and see also like what happens when he
like, gets on this thing.
Okay. You go up there. It's the same teenager as before that had rented you the ice cream. Hello, sir.
Hello again. What was your name? Oh, it doesn't matter.
I won't remember.
Won't remember. Here's 2 shillings for a single skate.
Ooh, shiny. Well, what you gave me before for a single ice skate downstairs was actually worth a pair of ice skates. So here's the roller skating portion, and we'll just kind of call this whole thing even.
Excellent.
They hand you the roller skate, and you can see it's the typical, I don't know what to call it exactly, polyurethane wheels.
Okay.
However, you do notice other skates that are kind of off to the side that have metal wheels.
Huh.
And as you're looking around, you see that the roller skaters that are going around all over the place and not really skating in sync or anything all have these polyurethane wheels. The ones that are in sync have metal wheels.
Literally every time you say that, I'm expecting a boy band track to just start playing. Yeah.
Sorry, gotta go. Bye, bye, bye.
Dang.
I know that. It's
yeah. Fascinating. I will ask this youth about those. It's like, excuse me, these aren't the competition-grade roller skates I was led to believe a fine establishment as Baldur's Skate would give me. What about those over there? Can I have one of those?
Sorry, sir. Those are reserved for VIT, the very important tunes.
Ah, well, I see that won't be a problem. And I'm gonna use my shtick, go into my bag of things, and pull out a badge that identifies me as a very important tune.
Okay, go ahead and make that shtick roll.
So it is under 5, correct?
5 or under.
5 or under. That is a 5 exactly.
Nice.
That does it. So you reach into the bag and you pull out a very official looking badge.
It probably looks like one of those FBI badges things that he opens up.
Oh, so the flip?
Yeah, that flips. And it has like Talon McCaw drawn with whatever on the top, and then underneath is just like a little important guy.
Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't realize. Of course, of course. And he kind of reaches behind the counter and pulls out one of the skates with the metal wheels.
Thank you, my good youth man.
You're welcome, sir. Have a nice time.
And he is going to hop away with his prize.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
Hazelnut, you have pants full of food.
Yeah, Hazelnut is currently just kind of strolling. That's kind of Hazelnut's exclusive speed for the most part, is a light stroll, and is just slowly but methodically shoving their face absolutely full of, here's an entire apple, core and all. Here's an entire roast chicken. Spit out the bones. You do the whole, like, I put a fish in my mouth and do the little xylophone sound when the bones come out of their mouth, etc. But it's just kind of now that the task of obtaining food has been had, now it is just consuming food. And, you know, they don't really need to be, like, at a table around other people. So they're just kind of wandering around upstairs, just kind of semi-absent-mindedly, but mostly contentedly.
Captain sees Hazelnut strolling.
Ow, ow, ow. Wow. I'm just going to keep making these stories.
Yeah.
The occasional
and
belch.
Ow, ow.
Hazelnut.
Ow.
Do you know anything about freezing ice rinks?
I know about freezing bears during the winter.
I mean, I'm open for any and all ideas. Our hosts are trying to refreeze the ice rink so we can keep skating.
Steve, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
In Toon logic, is what the Yetis did with rocket skates, is that considered cheating? Or is that just how things work?
There was no direct ban on custom skates, ice skates, so this would fall under that. It is not particularly sportsmanlike, but it is not strictly against the rules.
So they're using the Airbud defense of they didn't say I couldn't use rocket skates.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Hazelnut looks over and sees the group of Yetis who both cut them in line at the race and in the buffet line.
How dare they?
And he kind of does a little, he's already has pretty droopy eyes, but they squint somehow even a little bit more. And now they're like 5% open. They look around and see that the Yetis are still presumably stuffing their face classically and kind of saunters over and fully. And this is something that I've not revealed about Hazelnut at this point. Hazelnut, despite being a scrawny little bear, is actually very, very strong. Some would say his shtick is being very, very strong. And so they just sidle up behind the Yetis and are going to try and grab all of their chairs at once and lift them up and then just like tip them down the stairs to have them like tumble down downward.
Okay, go ahead and make that shtick roll of your that's the strength one.
Can I use my pick up heavy thing skill? And then I'm picking up
several heavy things. Yes, you're not trying to lift a building, so yeah, go ahead, pick up heavy things.
Excellent.
Oh.
No! What?
Oh.
No! How? I rolled a 10 and I needed a 9.
No!
But you do saunter up there, you grab their chairs while they're talking, you lift them up, partially lift them up, and then realize you are off balance. And so you start tipping backwards.
I start juggling them like they're balls or whatnots or chainsaws.
Yes, and you're trying to keep a balance, but you can't. So you and the abominable snow people take a tumble down the stairs.
crash, bang, bang.
You only missed it by one. You got your desired result, but not exactly great. I am going to have you take one die's worth of damage from the fall.
Seems reasonable. Now I roll more high rolls. I have one hit point left.
All right.
I rolled a six on that
D6. Yes, I did.
Well, you're still up. That's the good news. You are, however, at the bottom, number one, of the stairs, and number two, of a pile of abominable snow people. And it's cold.
Captain will run downstairs and be like, oh my! What's going on?
Is that a lyric?
Yeah. No, I have realized I have painted myself in a little corner.
We warned you this, Sophie.
I know, and I tried to listen to more lyrics to get to this, and it didn't work.
Hey, Captain, I think that our cold friends over here, he does the like theatrical thumb point, could use some help getting the aquatic party started, he says, pointing their claw at the melted ice rink. And just, huh? Huh? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah. Captain will pick up on this hint. All of a sudden, they just hear music. The Bomb of Swimming Kid don't know what's happening, but they hear this melodic pianica as...
Forgot about the pianica.
As the captain pulls out their pianica and starts playing music. And will pass off said pianica to Tenniel, their pet, who will just keep rocking out on the pianica. A pet has appeared out of nowhere, and is...
We haven't discussed this at all on mic, right?
No, not on mic.
We will need a description.
Yes, I am choosing to believe that this pet is just like floating sunglasses and then like gloves that appear on the pianica.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Great.
And the captain will start singing... Come take a swim, come take a swim, come take a swim with me. As Tenniel is really rocking out on their pianica.
That sounds like a slightly skewed cover tracks role.
It's covering a track.
Can I do, could I be assisting in that I am also just continuing to kind of push them towards... Everything?
Sure. If you want, you can roll one die.
Great.
And just equal to or under your score.
I will succeed. Ooh, and a one!
Nice!
Spoiler, I love to party.
So, as you're kind of singing them to gather them to get into the water, Auntie Xantha comes downstairs, and she's like, yes, I could really use your folks' help in refreezing the... Oh, I see you've already started.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could skate the day away. I know every single day is icy and new, but I got a rink of ice before I give my plan away. And I love all the icy spray because I spray ice too. Oh, but I need some cold on my new ice rink. Time to freeze that water. Cause I gotta have frost. I gotta have frost. Cause I gotta have frost, frost, frost. I gotta have frost, frost, frost.
That was great. I like that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. They're always just like so fun. And peppy.
A little good George Michael face.
So the ice rink has been refrozen, but as it freezes, the combination of the refreezing ice rink and this pillar of disco ball material kind of in the center causes a weird kind of play on lights. And I need everybody to please make that spot something roll.
Spot hidden.
I rolled snake eyes, which is the only thing I could have rolled.
Yeah.
Wow.
To succeed.
For being a detective, I don't think Hoots Marlowe has made a single spot hidden.
which is absolutely hilarious to me. Yeah.
Yep. Correct tune rolls.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The captain is just too busy singing, Arctic breeze makes me feel fine, to notice anything.
You're taken away by the island beats.
Yeah.
Talon will deign to look downstairs for a brief moment to see what all the hullabaloo is about. And he succeeds.
Hazelnut and Talon.
Yes.
You notice that the way the light is playing, for a brief moment, there is almost a spotlight on Auntie Xantha as she kind of moves off, and one side of the ice rink, you see her kind of move a curtain that you didn't notice was a curtain before because it actually looks like just like a typical wall. And she moves that and she's kind of like petting the bee and you hear the... And she scurries behind the curtain.
I need to know what this bee's about.
I'm so confused.
And does it look like... Like, can we tell anything about where she's going? Or she just, like, disappears into a place that she shouldn't?
She kind of disappears behind this curtain, and then it kind of, like, and then it comes back. And again, it's almost invisible. Just the fact that you saw her move through it is the only way you know there's actually a curtain there. Otherwise, it looks just like a wall.
Talon is going to interpret that as like, that's where they keep the good stuff. But he is going to let kind of everyone else in on the plan. Because he's been around them enough. And he knows their strengths and weaknesses.
And let us all remember, he's putting a team together.
He's putting a team together.
That is true.
He knows Hazelnut is some mighty fine muscle. He knows that Captain is the face, the distraction. He knows that Hoots can fill a variety of roles. Currently, he's envisioning him as the contortionist that fits in a tiny box.
Perhaps even like the sacrificial pawn.
Correct.
You know, who's well, we don't need to run faster than the pursuer. Just we need to run faster than Hoots.
You need a fall guy.
The intern.
And he does have his own built-in decoy.
Yes.
So you have like double decoy.
You don't know that though.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And obviously, Talon, the smart / hacker / getaway driver / demolitions expert / gunman.
The talent.
Yes. And he's going to let everyone know and bring him in on the job. Hey, that thing happened. Let's go check it out.
And Hoots just kind of like sniffs. I smell a mystery. A mystery at Baldur's Gate.
The only thing Hoot cares for more than justice is mystery.
Yeah, correct. And unfortunately, even though I did not see this myself, I will go and help investigate.
Did she not see our great work? Refreezing this ice rink?
I think she did, but something must have pulled her attention away.
Hazelnut put a lot of effort into getting those Yetis down here.
Hazelnut is already distracted and is walking towards where the curtain kind of like illusion happened. And Hazelnut, they're patting down their overalls. And realizing all the food is gone.
Oh, no.
Because
oh, no.
It got smushed due to Yetis. And
I thought you just ate all of it.
They're like, how dare you know?
It was a combination.
Yeah.
And it's like, truly, again, both arms digging around. And they eventually pull out just a frozen block of condensed food. Because he was smushed by all of these frozen Yetis.
There's like a piece of pizza crust sticking out of one side of it and like a chicken leg sticking out of the other side of it.
But, yeah. But otherwise just a slab, like a layered sandwich and like a hockey stick or something. I can save this. Foodsicle. It's fine. It's fine. And they start going to the shrouded, mysterious place, absolutely unburdened by stealth, etc. Yeah. Just assuming that, well, probably they got extra stuff back there.
Do we see where Auntie Xantha went?
So there is a corridor, very short corridor, stairs going down, and you do hear noises from down below.
Has Hazelnut just charged through and opened every single door in this corridor in search for something to unfreeze their foodsicle?
So actually, in addition to my various strength-based shenanigans, Hazelnut also has the shtick of invisibility.
Ooh.
Hazelnut is just so chill that they go absolutely unnoticed in almost all situations. And so Hazelnut is actually ahead of everyone already on the stairs and like is proceeding downward, having obviously seen no stick or stick-like apparatus in this corridor.
Are you going to try to be invisible?
I don't know that Hazelnut ever tries to be invisible. I think Hazelnut just exists in kind of an invisible state of being.
Okay.
So I don't think that they are necessarily trying to be quiet, but I, Nathan, am very happy to roll on their behalf to see if they go truly unnoticed.
Okay.
If that answers the question.
Let's try that, yes.
Oh.
I rolled an 11.
Wow.
I rolled a 5 and a 6. How are these dice rolling this well on the one time I need them not to? Thank you, Sophie. Give me new ones.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What happens as you're moving down this corridor and or the stairs that makes you more noticeable than you would ordinarily be?
Unfortunately, as we discussed, the kind of compressed food sickle that Hazelnut has been so kind of hyper-focused on is not like a perfect rectangle. There are little kind of bits and bobs that are sticking out, and the aforementioned slice of pizza has just kind of thawed enough that it drops off and goes right underneath their foot and becomes a banana peel-esque ice-capade, wherein they slip on it, they go, whoa, arms go flailing around, and then clonk, 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 clonk.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to, unfortunately, ask you to roll a d6 for some damage.
Oh, no!
It literally doesn't matter. I have one hit point.
All right, so you you kind of bonk, bing, bonk, bing, bonk, bing, bonk, bing, bonk, bing, bonk, bing, poof, and slam against the wall at the bottom of the stairs. And this means you fall down. What happens is you are temporarily out. We're going to continue going. You tell me when you would like to come back in and how you recover from the falling down. Unfortunately, some people notice. But the three of you are currently at the top of the stairs and can kind of see where Hazelnut has gone through this doorway. But you hear noises, but you don't see what happens or what's in the room at the bottom.
Talon is going to rush down the stairs after seeing that his hired muscle has taken a fall. And he is going to try and pull from, like, there's not enough time for, like, a proper disguise. But we got to do something. And so he's going to try and pull a big old blanket from the bag of many things and rest it on Hazelnut. And as it kind of, like, falls, it falls in just the right way with just the right color patterns that it matches Hazelnut's body completely into the background.
You're pulling an elven cloak.
Yes.
All right, go ahead and roll that shtick.
11. I know absolutely.
Oh, sheesh. So you pull this blanket out, and it is the brightest purple and white polka dot blanket that you have ever seen, but it nestles softly over Hazelnut.
And Talon, like, looks at it, looks at some, like, looks around, and it's like, wait, and pulls out another one, but it's just like the magician's handkerchief he's trying to pull out. It's like, wait a minute, I know it's in here somewhere.
Hoots is going to slowly walk down the stairs towards the fallen comrade of Hazelnut and pull out a gun from his trench coat and provide covering fire in case something comes through that door.
So you just start shooting.
Yeah. No, hey, just in case. No, I'll keep it.
You said start providing covering fire.
I start blasting.
Yeah, I'll keep the gun trained on the doorway in case something comes out of there.
Okay.
With my itchy trigger finger. Yeah.
The captain will slowly climb down, just going, I don't want to do your dirty work. Oh, no.
All right. So you all kind of make it to the bottom of the stairs. And as you look up, you see, again, Auntie Xantha kind of holding this gigantic bumblebee and petting it. And she says, oh, dear. Well, this is unexpected. And as you're looking around, you notice that you're seeing a bunch of tunes down here that look very familiar. In fact, they look identical to the ones that were skating in unison all the way upstairs. Except these tunes seem to have pickaxes and are chained and smashing rocks and digging out a section of this underground layer.
Did she kidnap them and replace them with, like, animatronics upstairs?
That's a great question, which might be answered in song.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the cartoon labor force.
Oh, no.
Tirelessly working with more power than a horse. Is it rather evil? Well, yeah, pretty much, of course. The tunes will labor on. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Cause
making patrons that are tunes from the roller rink upstairs and replacing them with robots so their family's not aware. Then using all that tunage so more skaters skate downstairs. The tunes will labor on. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Digging, digging out my skate rink. Cause roller rinks are fun.
I really love when evil plans are just like not
catchy.
Even sung at us, but of like just like explained in like a meta, like overarching theme song happening amorphously in the background. Just like it just cuts right to
right,
it.
Yeah.
You know? Like it keeps things moving.
It's entertaining and provides background.
Yeah. Hoots is just going to go, I knew it.
I knew it all.
Just as I suspect.
Called it. So, Auntie Xantha, she rushes off. There are four guards that kind of rush up to intercept you between you and Auntie Xantha rushing off. One of them is red, one of them is pink, one of them is blue, and one of them is orange. And as she's rushing off, she says, Blinky, Pinky, Eeky, Clyde, get him!
That's got to be a pun.
I know, I'm trying to figure it out.
It is not a pun, it is a reference.
Wait. Blue, pink, red, orange? Clyde?
Clyde. And as they run up, you hear wonga 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 wonga.
Okay. It's a Pac-Man guy.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a Pac-Man ghost.
Okay.
And that is their actual names.
Great. Nice.
So you have one round to try to get past them. What would you like to do?
I keep doing a wee 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 wee. Honk shoe, honk shoe, honk shoe.
The captain is outraged because he thought those tunes were just vibing this whole time, and they are not.
Takes the freedom to party very seriously.
Yes, indeed. And we'll just run up, and Tennille will toss the pianica to Captain, and he just takes a giant swing, and the pianica somehow grows super long as it's swinging, and we'll just try to hit the guards.
Go ahead and give me a
fight
roll.
That's a 4 for out of 9.
Okay. That is a 7, which is above theirs. So you hit them, and actually you clobber 2 of them out of the way, and so there's only the 2 still in between you and Auntie Xantha.
Hoots Marlowe is going to pull out another one of his possessions, his trusty camera. And it's got this like big flash sitting on top of it. So he just points the camera at 2 of these other guards and just goes, say cheese. As he takes a picture, but then this bright white flash goes off right in their eyes. And I'm hoping to blind them so that all of us can get through.
Okay, what would you like to roll for that?
Could I do this as a zip roll to try and get both of them in the right direction? Like, to try and catch both of them in my sights?
Sure.
I did succeed on zip to try and get both of them.
You have blinded them.
Nice. And Hoots is going to try and, like, slip by while these two are blinded.
The captain is going to, like, run through the opening and looks over his shoulder at both of you and says, come with me and escape.
Nice.
Turns out, just my puns I got right.
Yeah.
Talon, should be pretty easy, but yes. You know, but you still need to try to get past them, and they are kind of swinging wildly.
Yeah. Talon knows that he can make it past these blinded, distracted guards fairly easily, but he really wants to give them a taste of their own medicine. He wants to make sure that they suffer.
Wow.
which is really the vibe we're going for
in tune, yeah, of course.
And so he is going to determine that now is the best time for murder.
What?
He's going to pull out a bottle cap from his bag of many things, chuck it at them, and just watch as a horde of crows flies down the stairs and pecks at these blinded, distracted tunes.
Awesome.
And he will fly past them on the way towards Auntie Xantha.
Okay. What would you like your role to be for that?
I would like it to be like a set trap role.
Sure. I'll allow that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because he gingerly lays down the bottle cap, and then the
at its most reflective.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then the crows descend. That is a 10. So it's not really murder because only one crow shows up, but it is attempted murder.
Excellent. Yes, it is. Wow, beautiful. So the crow shows up and starts kind of flapping to distract, and you are able to get by.
Fantastic.
And so you start chasing Auntie Xantha, and you see her kind of go into another side room. And as you follow in, you can see that it's rather dark in there. And when you kind of all rush in, the door slams shut behind you, and torches kind of go poof, 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 and light up. And you see Auntie Xantha kind of at the end of this room, and she's again holding that bee, and she says, "Oh dear, this is not how I wanted this to go, but I guess there's only one thing to do, and that's to improvise." And the bee starts expanding until Auntie Xantha is kind of encompassed in this bee. And as it's getting larger and larger, you see the patterns on it form eyes. So it looks like there's one giant eye, and then a stalk and another eye. A stalk and another
eye.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
A stalk all right. And another eye.
A beholder.
Named Xantha.
Yeah.
Xanthar.
Yeah.
Below Baldur's Gate.
All right.
It's all coming together.
Oh, God. This isn't even worth the point. I don't even want it.
However, that leads us to her taunting, which the only way to taunt tunes is in song.
Welcome to my hidden room, little tunes so confused. Welcome to my hidden room, you still seem quite bemused. Welcome to my hidden room, little tunes so bemused. Welcome to my hidden room, you still seem quite confused. Welcome to my hidden room, hidden room. Welcome to my hidden room, hidden room. Welcome to my hidden room, little tune so confused. Welcome to my hidden room, there's nothing you can do. Welcome to my hidden room, little tune so bemused. Welcome to my hidden room, you still seem quite confused. What's this? What's this? Are you here to put a stop to my forced labor plan? What's this? What's this? How could you ever think that you even had a chance? Welcome to Untimely Doom, little tunes, you're so screwed. Welcome to Untimely Doom, there's nothing you can do. Welcome to Untimely Doom, you're so screwed, little tunes. Welcome to Untimely Doom, there's nothing you can do.
I love that Auntie Xantha is secretly so metal.
Yeah. I will just roll over. This is
working in a few extra holidays to the April Fools April Fool's session.
Indeed. So seems like it's a fight time in tune. The way this is going to work is you guys go first. Anything that is an attack, Auntie Xantha has a dodge. So success on both sides means nothing happens. If you have a success and she fails, you do damage. If she has a success and you fail, you miss your attack.
Okay.
So you all can go first.
I'm going to fire my gun.
I was wondering when I would show up.
I picked a gun for this reason, and I'm going to use it.
It's to use it as a gun.
Yeah. I'm going to use my fire gun skill and just fire a bullet in this
and I'm going to shoot her.
I'm going to
shoot
her.
What's that one under? What tune skill is fire gun?
It's under zip. It's an actual skill called fire gun. I'm not making this up.
Got a little zip in there.
Yeah. Yep. So I would like to shoot the beholder.
Okay. Auntie Xantha is going to attempt to dodge.
Okay.
So,
and I'm just
going
to go dodge this.
Nothing personnel, kid.
I succeeded with an 8 under 9.
I failed with an 8 when she needed a 7.
Again, this is where I question the, like, what's the tone of the cartoon that you star in?
Totally.
Because, not that it's good or bad, but it's like, shooting this person, depending on what kind of cartoon character you are, could, like, drastically change the outcome.
That's fair. We went from Yacht Rock and just having a good time skating on the ice rink to discovering forced labor underneath this camp.
Yeah.
To a beholder. It was just the whole thing.
I've taken you on a ride.
Yeah.
It's really Steve's fault that the tone has shifted, not ours.
Yeah. So how much damage does my revolver do?
So I shoot him.
I shoot him.
Basically, everything does a d6.
Okay, cool. That'll be 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage, okay.
And I'm going to see if I can get behind some cover in this space, because I don't want to get eye-beamed.
The captain will pull out a bucket that he has. It's normally for the party, like a bucket of beers on the beach, but nope, he's going to use this bucket to try to...
A bucket of root beers.
Root beers.
Because we're cartoons.
Yes.
Friendly.
I have a
Not
gun.
Bottles of triple X.
Kids, this is an American cartoon show. Guns are way more allowed than underage drinking.
I guess that's fair, yeah.
I pull out a vape and I grab some sins.
Is it an empty bucket? Is it filled with ice? Is it filled with ice and root beer?
It is an empty bucket because there are no vibes here. And Captain will try to chuck it at one of the eye stalks and hopefully get the handle hooked on the eye stalk and cover it.
Gotcha.
I'm fight work for that. I'm throwing.
There should be a throw.
I changed that. I'm just going to try to.
Could fire your gun.
I don't have a gun.
Should have thought about that.
I'll try throw, even though it's a very different level of skill.
Okay.
I fail.
Oh.
Xantha also failed to dodge, but because both failures, no damage.
My pocket.
Talon is going to use his bag of many things. He's going to put his wing into the open bag, and he's going to pull out Hoot's gun.
Hey!
And I'm going to shoot it.
All right, give it a shot. Give it a shot to try to pull out Hoot's gun.
But okay. I rolled a 3, which is a success.
Hey!
So, you shove your wing into this bag, and you come out with an identical copy of Hoot's gun until Hoot, you realize that all of a sudden you're just pointing your wing at the beholder.
I'm not even reaching into the bag. I'm reaching through the bag and just grabbing Hoot's gun.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, you have Hoot's gun.
I'm going to shoot it.
Go ahead.
That is a 6, which is a failure.
Oh, no.
Ping! It kind of ricochets. You know, the bullet ricochets off the stone wall, and the pail is kind of still tumbling through the air. And dare I ask, does Hazelnut make an appearance?
No, I think sitting at least one round of combat seems a reasonable at least time off to take for a fully downed character.
Okay, it is Auntie Xantha's turn. So the body of this bee holder begins to vibrate.
That auntie was always a real bee.
And a beam shoots out.
A beam.
As the only person who has damaged Auntie Xantha.
Yeah.
Hoots, go ahead and make your dodge roll.
All right. I succeeded with an 8 under 9.
Auntie Xantha has failed with an 11. However, you were hiding behind this rock, and the rock is just gone.
Okay.
And so you are kind of crouched behind the rock of where the rock used to be.
All right.
Round 2.
I'm going to try and reach for my gun only to see it in Talon's hands. So I'm going to use my gizmo to pull out my second gun.
Excellent.
Just when I needed it most.
Good old reliable.
And we're going to fire again.
Okay, she's going to dodge.
That, unfortunately, is a miss. I got a 10 over 9.
Okay, I got a 7 of 7, so okay. That is actually a success. Okay. No damage that time.
I don't use this one quite as often, so it's I got to warm up to it.
The bullet pings around and, again, knocks the pail into the air, so it's kind of still, like, staying up in the air. Who's next?
I want to try something. If it can be a fight roll.
Okay. Dazzle me.
Captain has his pianica, which I think is just the funnest name I've found for that keyboard you blow into that makes sound. And also has some marbles. So the captain would like to load the marbles into the pianica and basically make like a musical blow dart to shoot marbles at the beholder.
And you want to use fight for that?
Yeah.
As opposed to like the
fire gun?
Fire gun.
Definitely not a gun.
It's not a gun. It's not a pianica.
Yeah.
That's true.
We really should have all just picked gun.
Yeah. It was like the first item on the item list.
I will also take a cover track stroll.
Oh.
As I musically, melodically play my pianica that also just happens to shoot marbles out of a holder.
What track will you be covering?
Heart to Heart by Kenny Loggins. This popped into my brain. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but that's the one I got. Ooh, I could also do Ride Like the Wind.
Okay.
Ride Like the Wind. Ooh, that's better. Da-da-da. Ride Like the Wind.
Go ahead and roll your cover tracks.
That's a 4 out of 9.
Okay, 4 out of 9. All right. Antizantha's Dodge.
Ooh, wow.
Dang.
Boxcars, folks. We got boxcars. And I'm going to say, because I rolled boxcars, that's 2 sixes, everybody, for the if you don't get it. I'm going to say it hits one of her eyes.
Nice.
So go ahead, and she will lose the ability of one of the random eye stalks, but go ahead and roll damage.
6.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Perfect.
Wow.
Those marbles really doing a number.
Captain is not here for ruined vibes. The vibes must be brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Hazelnut would like to enter the fray now.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Hazelnut has gone completely unnoticed, as they often do, and wandered over to the captive birds who are working down in this basement. And Hazelnut, as much as they love food and sleeping, equally are opposed to the idea of doing things that they don't want to do. And slavery / indentured servitude seems right in that line of thinking. And so they just kind of glare down at the... Are they chained up? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so there's they're basically the as is generally depicted, chain around the ankle, and then that is attached to some enormous boulder.
Hazelnut looks down at these poor oppressed birds, and Hazelnut steals themselves. You see a little tear go down their just adorable bear face, and she pulls out the big slab of frozen food and brings it down on the chains that are holding these poor birds.
Gotcha. All right. I guess you could do a fight, any kind of smashing.
Fight would be excellent. And also, can I say that I am using up my possession, which is slab of food, to accentuate the success of this roll?
Yes, you can. And I will allow you to then just roll one die.
Okay. I still rolled a 6 on a 1 die, but I have 9 fights, so it's
fine. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
That's
right.
Why I wanted to roll that dice, because I knew it was going to still try to fuck me.
So you bring this frozen dinner?
Frozen several dinners.
Above your head and smash it down on the chain, which then shatters this chain into a bunch of little pieces.
Again, just like chicken nuggets flying everywhere, lots of carrot sticks, etc. Just...
The birds all kind of look at you, look down at the chain, look at you, and then they look down at the chain again in that kind of bird pigeon kind of way where it's like one eye.
So they're full bird intelligence.
They are bird. Well,
they're not like sassy
at least,
ravens.
At least mannerism wise,
I got it.
And they kind of look at each other, and then one of them holds up a wing and just says, "Free bird!" And all of them kind of "Free bird!" and start flapping, and they head into the beholder room.
Hey.
Or to the door, because that door is currently closed.
Ah,
that's all right. I'm very good at breaking down doors.
Nice.
So, Auntie Xantha's turn. Captain.
Hey.
You did damage to poor Auntie Xantha this round.
My pianic is doing work.
Yes. So one of the large central eye focuses on you, and then one of the other eye stalks kind of like whips around, and another beam comes out.
Oh, no.
That is a 6. That will hit. You can dodge if you would like.
I would like to try to dodge. I do not dodge.
You do not dodge. The beam strikes you in the chest, and you get to enjoy, 6 points.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
And the beam hits you, and you're so tiny that you just engulfed by this beam. And you are charred, and your fur has been blasted backwards. And then you have one little tiny flame of fire on your head.
My flower! Oh, no! Captain just does that cartoony, like,
but you are still standing.
After all of these bullets and marbles, how is Auntie Xantha looking?
You would say that she has approximately 25% of her hit points left.
Okay. Talon, finish it!
Talon is... He sees Auntie Xantha's weakened state. He is trying to figure out exactly the best way to finish off this beholder. And so he takes the wing and begins to stroke his crow tee on his chin.
Nice. I like that.
I was originally going to try and do like the AT-AT thing and like try and wrap some string around her eye stalks. But instead, I'm going to fire my gun.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Fire Hoots' gun.
Fire
that is
Hoots's
in your possession.
Gun. Correct. Yes. I fail miserably.
That's right. I had a 6, so...
My fire gun is not good.
Okay.
At this moment...
Hazelnut, it's up to you!
You all hear a mighty thumping upon the door locked behind you. It's a very simple thing that I would like to do, Steve. Hazelnut is trying to knock down this door.
That seems reasonable. Almost too reasonable for Toon.
Oh, just wait.
Okay.
That is... an 8 under 9.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Thump, thump. Pause for effect. And then it is the door is knocked flat immediately. Not from the hinges, not anything. It just collapses straight down. And there, in perfect golden silhouette, is Hazelnut. Where is the spotlight coming from? Who knows? From either side of them, a batch of birds flies out, pawing a legally distinct cover of Free Bird as they enter into the room. And Hazelnut looks around and sees the pitched combat going ahead and says, wait, sorry, what's happening?
If you would like, you can make a fight roll for the birds.
Can I use my fight stat?
No.
Inspired by my fairiness.
So they have a fight of 5.
That's pretty good.
Which is all right. It inspired by you for the first round. You can roll 1 die and try to get 5 or under.
I'll take that. A 3.
Nice, nice.
They fly in and kind of begin circling above the beholder, and one of them grabs onto this pail that is still pinging around.
And hasn't stopped. It's just in the background.
It's just ping pong.
Put that in post. It's just for a full 10 minutes of gameplay. It's just clonk, 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 clonk.
Grabs it and kind of slams it down on the top of the head of this beholder. Go ahead and roll damage. 1d6.
5?
Nice.
So, the
crow kind of slams this pail down on the top of the beholder and then holds it there for a second as the other 3 crows slam down on top of it as well and shove it over the main body of the beholder.
Perfect.
And then it only at that point does that bucket fall to the ground and kind of roll and land right side up, but with one eye kind of sticking out of the bucket and just kind of looking around wildly.
Perfect.
And that is the end of combat.
Hey!
Oh, nice.
For two.
Glad I brought the bucket.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Way to use it, birds.
Did just as much damage as guns.
As yeah. guns. Multiple guns.
Because two.
Two.
As you carry the bucket upstairs with Auntie Xantha tucked inside of it, you are able to free the rest of the prisoners, bring them all upstairs, and then there's basically just a big roller rink party for everybody to celebrate as the hound police officers drag Auntie Xantha off to jail.
Toon jail.
Toon, everybody!
Yeah. Yay!
Thanks for playing!
Yeah.
Or the morally gray, or yeah. the chaos. The protagonists.
It's black and white, like Hoots Marlowe.
Yes, yeah. It is. So thank you all for playing. Thank you all for listening. Hope you had a good time. And Toon has been out for a while. I understand there's a second edition coming out. Yeah, a while since the 90s.
Copyright 1991, yeah. It says on our character sheets.
Yep. So as you can see, it gets a little bit silly. But I hope you had a good time. And we'll see you next time. Bye,
bye,
everyone.
Bye.